From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 329, All SharePoint 2013 Things Considered, with guest Robert Bogue, recorded Monday, August 5th, 2013. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. Thanks for listening to Run As Radio, bringing back a favorite guest of mine, Robert Bogue, who's a 9-year or maybe now 10-year veteran of the Microsoft MVP program. They give you a special little thing when you get your 10-year.
It's a little blue disc.
Yeah. Well, I like that new award that where they actually give you a ring for each year. It's you know, I have a proliferation of strange glass objects from Microsoft already. I like one that actually grows over time.
Is it like sea monkeys? Does it grow like sea monkeys?
No. There's a few that really are important to me. You know, the special ones you get signed from guys like Soma and so forth, they're pretty neat. But, you work with different Microsoft groups for different things over the years, and weird things happen. You end up with a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I have a glass menagerie in a bay window.
Nice.
That is designed to just reflect and create rainbows on the wall.
And you've been hanging around SharePoint for a few years now.
Yeah. It's actually been, the first time I started touching it was before it was released. It was 2000.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so you're one of the guys from ground zero of this whole thing.
Yeah, we tend to think of it as a nuclear explosion.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Well, yeah, it's always been a product where I've never been sure it knew what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, it certainly has morphed from where it was. I mean, originally it was Portal Server.
Yeah.
And then STS, SharePoint Team Services. And they were just so completely different.
Yeah.
It was like Microsoft, you know how sometimes they come up with a name and they really like it a lot?
Yes.
Like, do you remember the times when they were talking about .NET servers?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, we came up with .NET. That's so super cool. We're going to call our servers .NET servers.
Well, and then they had ActiveX everything.
Yes. Everything was ActiveX. So SharePoint was two completely radically different products.
Yeah.
And the first version of SharePoint Portal Server was built on the Magma Core, which was the Exchange information store.
Right. Which was actually derived from the Access engine, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, if you go into the Wayback history, that's where the Exchange database engine came from.
Right. Yeah. That's way, way back.
Yeah.
But that product was about collaboration, document management, project management.
So the Portal Server was more about what we think of for corporate intranets, and
right.
STS was more about the collab side.
So one side you had, I loathe to call it a CMS, but Portal Server, that's really what it was a way to build internal sites for your company.
Yep. And then document management with versioning, because STS was more focused around list management.
Right.
But those are the good old days. Okay, they weren't so good.
Well, it's always been a battle, but you know, you can't argue with a viral product. Like, people install SharePoint knowing very little, trying to get help from it. Like, there's great expectations from that. In a lot of ways, they're quite successful too. It's small scale anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know previous conversations we've had, we've gotten into, okay, now as a responsible IT person who clearly has SharePoint out of control here, how do we get in some governments and organization and actually take responsibility for these things so that they do what they need to do?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, meantime, hopefully the product's helping us do this because it's been bipolar for a long time. Do you feel like it's together now?
Well, I think a lot of the things that we've struggled with in the past have become more cohesive. And then it has this schizophrenic break happening right now. And it's all because of the cloud.
Right.
You know, we've decided, Microsoft, maybe I shouldn't be calling that we. We've decided as an industry that we want to talk about software as a service and cloud and and you know, not managing so much infrastructure close to the users. And certainly when we got to SharePoint 2013, it's all cloud. There are a handful of things which are really great enhancements for our on-premises customers, people that are deploying their own servers.
Mm-hmm.
But really, a lot of the changes came in tenant management and the ability for Microsoft to host SharePoint at scale.
Right.
And so that's created this kind of schism between, on the one hand, we've got stuff that we want people to deploy locally and on-site, things like search and web content management, and to maybe to a lesser extent, enterprise content management, records management, those sorts of workloads. And then the other stuff, we're trying to get to the cloud. Microsoft would love everybody to sign up for an Office 365 account. In fact, do that today. Everybody should just do that today.
Just do it now.
Make Microsoft happy.
I guess that's our goal, to keep them happy,
yeah.
Huh?
So Microsoft's got a lot of folks moving to the cloud because of Exchange, right? That's when I'm talking to my large clients, that's really where we start. But then the next thing that we start to talk about is the collaborative workloads.
Sure.
Basic, hey, I've got to do project management. I've got, this deliverable I got to create or whatever. And those commodity type services, moving them to SharePoint on the cloud as well.
And you're not kidding. I go to Microsoft.com/SharePoint and I don't see the product anywhere. I just see Office 365, $3 a month. Like, they're all about, we want you on the cloud.
Yeah, there's absolutely no question that the focus is and has been for probably the last 18 months, we would love for people to be on the cloud. We're tired of hearing the stories. I'm speaking for Microsoft, which is always a bad thing. But, they're tired of hearing the stories of people saying, SharePoint's slow, it doesn't run right, I've always got errors, because it's a relatively complex product, and getting it deployed locally takes effort. So they're like, we'll take care of it, right? They got big infrastructure and they know how to manage it.
They can run it all for you.
Yeah.
Well, and actually, you're seeing a number of products out there that are just helping you to have a well-running environment or a pre-configured environment for you to use. It's not just Office 365. There's a bunch of ways to get SharePoint pre-packaged.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of hosters are doing that for you now. A lot of folks are doing services on site. There are a lot of products that are helping with the governance problems we've talked about in the past.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of focus on making SharePoint more usable.
From an IT perspective, my reaction to SharePoint is primarily, this is about you no longer emailing documents.
Yeah.
Just make that, if you make that stop, a whole bunch of things get better. The portal's one thing, but this idea that we keep documents in a common store that everybody can access and we just email links to documents makes me way happier. You can see my exchangeness showing here, but that one thing, that one mantra inside of an organization, it's amazing what the transformation is and how you look at SharePoint after that, because it handles all the documents. But that being said, I haven't got very many customers that are happy at the prospect of those documents living anywhere than inside our data center.
Yeah, there are a lot of legal departments that get exceedingly nervous.
Yeah.
About moving stuff to the cloud, and it's really interesting. You're talking about your exchangeness, right? Like your ability. I find that one of the most interesting things about SharePoint is the move from a private store to a public store. So when you keep things in email, you and perhaps an assistant or somebody you trust can get into your email.
Right.
With SharePoint, there's a kind of an assumed visibility versus an assumed closedness. So one of the things I've been playing with, talking to folks about and implementing are knowledge management solutions built on top of SharePoint, where we're trying to protect the knowledge that the organization has, just as it relates to, it's in Susie's mailbox, but what happens when Susie leaves?
Yes.
Right? Well, we archive it, right? Like, we all just export it to a PST and we hide it in some directory somewhere, but what if Susie had really important knowledge that was trapped in there?
Yeah. And I can't tell you how many times I've run into environments where literally hundreds of no longer account assigned email boxes.
Yeah, where they deleted the account and the mailbox still exists.
And they've kept the mailbox, quote, archived, but nobody goes there. Nobody searches in there. They know there's things that are important in there, but it's basically irretrievable.
Right. Well, and they're really, so what really scares some of my customers is we start talking about e-discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, all those mailboxes are subject to e-discovery.
Absolutely.
And they don't look at them because they don't have a tool that has the ability to reach in and identify and grab that stuff out. So it's a huge risk that, you know, if they've got much of a legal counsel, that the legal counsel is pulling their hair out.
Well, and the latest versions of Exchange have better tools around managing those kinds of mailboxes so that they are searchable and discoverable. But we still get back to the bigger issue, which is putting this stuff in email is just a stupid place to put it.
Right, right. And just kind of as a sidebar, because I know we're supposed to at some point talk about SharePoint 2013 here, the integration between Exchange 2013 and SharePoint 2013, particularly as it relates to e-discovery and these discovery functions, is much, much better.
Interesting.
You can have a search you execute over on the SharePoint side, reach into all the mailboxes, and do it. It actually uses Exchange's search, pulls that all together, and you can create a package that you can hand over to your attorney so that you can pitch them lots and lots of money to go through it. But the ability to make one query and look at what's in email and what's in SharePoint is just, it's miles ahead of where we were.
Well, and it's just starting to think like that. Like, once again, we get away from this is not just a product. These are backbones of your business.
Yeah.
And you have to start thinking them that way. And it's good to see that it's actually evolving. So as frustrated as I am with the cloud thing, because I think they're complicating stuff in some respects for an existing organization that's already got a work pattern that works, and you're sort of driving me towards having to use Office 365, I can just install 2013, right?
Well, yeah, you can, but the changes for the cloud have meant an impact for the on-prem customers.
Okay.
So when we would do installations of SharePoint 2010, and we did fault tolerance, right? And so you and I have talked about, are you really scaling for performance, or are you just doing fault tolerance?
Right.
Most of the time, it's fault tolerance.
Yes.
That's the thing that we're doing. So we do two front-end webs, we do two app servers, and we do clustered SQL. Okay. So that's the 2010 environment. That's the way we do it. So now, if you look at 2013, it gets a little more interesting. So you still have two front-end web servers. You still have two app servers. And then you have to make some decisions. First of all, it used to be that you could install WAC, Office Web Applications, on the SharePoint farm. In fact, it was required that the server be joined.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is required that the server not be joined.
Huh.
So you have to have Office Web Applications on a new set of servers. Well, of course, you want to do fault tolerance, so add two more servers to your mix. And I'll tell you this, you do not want anything else on whatever is running your Office Web Applications, because to say that they do not play well with others is a bit of an understatement.
Yes.
They're knifing kids on the playground. These Office Web Apps are not nice to others in their sandbox.
Yeah. Well, and this is what virtualization is all about. There's no reason to mix these things together again, ever. Just run them in VMs. The question is, are you sufficiently provisioning the VM and the host environment that needs to run that VM?
Yeah. Yes.
Because as I recall, SharePoint's a bit of a glutton when it comes to resources.
It likes resources. It likes resources a lot. And in 2013, so here's another change, then we'll get back to kind of the other impact infrastructure. The more memory you throw at SharePoint now, the better off you are.
Right.
Right. Now, you and I have talked in the past about if you want to make an investment in SQL, add more memory to it, because hands down, that's the one that's the least cost.
The way I've answered this question, how much memory does SQL Server need? The correct answer is more.
Yeah, or as much as the box will hold.
Yes. And now we're starting to be able to stuff a terabyte of RAM into some of these machines.
Yes.
Which is absurd, but amazing.
Yes. It reads from disk precisely twice.
Yes.
So 2013 has the cache. It's the old velocity cache, but it's caching. It's shared distributed caching.
Mm-hmm.
across the servers. So the stuff that we used to cache single server and we couldn't get it and regenerate it, now that cache is shared across the different boxes. So that's it's from a performance standpoint, particularly if you are not holding on to the same box that you always have, and there's some really cool request routing and some other things going on, you have the ability to take advantage of cache in memory on a box that didn't actually perform the caching.
Oh, wow. So, okay.
So server A, a request hits server A for site collection, and it reads the basic information about the site collection up. And the cache copy is great, and somebody hits server B and needs it.
Right.
Well, they get the copy of the cache from server A. It serializes it, copies across the wire.
Okay.
And they pick it up on server B. So that's really cool, but we're back to that more memory equal better.
Right.
Right.
And is server B now going to maintain a copy in its own cache?
No, it runs. How does that work? With a copy, and I can't remember if it transfers primary ownership to server B or server A, but I don't know. It's magic.
Yep. What was it? There was a technology that was basically their own version of Memcached that I suspect is behind all of this. They're now building these smart distributed caching layers, and they just sort of do their magic.
Yep. It was the Velocity. So the old code name was Velocity.
Right. That's the one I'm thinking of. Velocity. And I thought that was only in Azure. But once again, we get this realization that an awful lot of what they're building in Azure is showing up on the on-prem stuff.
Well, you know, it's funny you mention it, because that's a beautiful segue into the last piece of infrastructure we've got to talk about.
Wow.
So, we talked about the basic servers we need. We've talked about the fact that Office web applications now get their own servers.
Mm-hmm.
There's another set of servers that are recommended to run on their own, but don't have to. You can run them on the SharePoint Farm servers, but really recommended to be running on their own, and that would be the new workflow engine for SharePoint 2013.
Okay.
Which is WF4 based. It is runs in Azure Workflow Services, literally in the name Azure.
Wow. So, even though it's an on-prem product.
So it was built for Azure to run workflows.
Right.
And they, because they have a SharePoint 2013 on-prem solution, they've packaged that up for you to install on-prem as well as, of course, using it from Azure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other set of servers that if you want to do a fully deployed solution and you want to get to fault tolerance, you have to get to. So we took what was 6 servers, 2 web front end, 2 app servers, and 2 SQL servers.
Right.
And we've made it 10, from 6 to 10. So,
welcome to the future.
Welcome to the future, where you'll have a VM for everything.
Yes.
So I'm
still wrestling with why, other than the Windows licenses themselves, is there anything bad about this? I kind of like that they're split up. The roles can be individually scalable, individually monitored, individually badly behaved. Like, is this bad?
Yeah, it is, but it's not obvious. So okay. The non-obvious thing is, so first of all, I love separation of duty.
Right.
I'm all about that. And for all the reasons you mentioned, and probably 10 that we've both forgotten,
mm-hmm.
It's great. Except that you have to pass along the credentials of the user. You have to get the identity and the trust happening between the different layers.
Right.
When it's on same box, or it's in same product, or it's in blah, 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 that's easy,
not
right?
A big deal.
You're like, yeah, just hand it off, yeah. Right? Like, this person, they're Bob Smith. Don't care what you think. Just trust me, they're Bob Smith.
Yeah.
Well, now that we're in the model we're in, so WAAPI, the Office web applications, have a certificate exchange between SharePoint and the Office web applications so that they can trust each other.
Mm-hmm.
Workflow has the same situation.
Right.
So it's less about the separation, and it's more about the level of awareness that you have to have about certificates and how PKI works.
Mm.
And everybody's got to trust everybody else. And that, for me, is the big thing.
So we're back to this issue of it's really hard to get this thing configured correctly.
Exactly. And I tell customers that, well, I had customers this year, right? So it's 2013, and I had customers that were doing planning for a SharePoint upgrade in 2012. And they're like, hey, there'll be a new version. Well, we don't know pricing yet, but we'll add 30% to whatever our current pricing is, and that'll be plenty for the project.
Right.
Well, we just did the math on servers, right? So 6 plus 4, I blew 30% out of the water.
Right.
And then the integration cost, the amount of time it takes to set it up because of all the additional certificates, is also substantially larger.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been actually a problem with my customers trying to get the budget to be able to do this right.
And it just, are we talking about running internal certs? I can run my own cert server for this, or do I really want to go out and buy them?
You can absolutely run internal certs. What I recommend to customers is to get a domain CA up and running,
right,
a certificate authority, so that all of this stuff is all internal, and it actually simplifies a lot of the trust, the root certificate trust that you have to do.
Right.
Because you're a domain member, you trust the root CA, right? There's no additional steps required, except in SharePoint, where you have to tell it to trust it, even though the machine trusts it. that's an easy minor detail to deal with.
Yeah. But if you go and get an external wildcard domain certificate, then it is a real cert from an outside service. It's not that much money, and it'll pretty much cover everything.
Yeah, it does, as long as the authorized uses are correct.
Yeah. We still have to set it up. It's, you know, you're going to need aliases for each one of those servers, and they have to all be properly mapped. And it is, setting up certificates right is a pain in the ass.
Right. And what's actually, setting it up is a pain in the ass. It's detailed work that you have to get right.
Mm-hmm.
The part that really sucks is trying to debug, troubleshoot, diagnose what the heck is happening. Because I get this error. And oh, by the way, all the errors in SharePoint 2013 and all the messages are way friendlier now.
Okay.
There are things like working on it, not, you know, please wait.
Yeah.
Oh, we're working on it.
That's just like Windows 8, right? Just getting a couple of things done.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be back with you in a moment. but yeah, so debugging cert issues where it should be trusted, but it's not trusted, or it can't find the certificate revocation list, so it's not going to let the certificate go because
it might be revoked.
Yeah, it might be revoked. Just lots of that little nitpicky stuff that is difficult. So when I'm talking to my IT pro friends, this is the way that I explain this. So number one, we've had Kerberos for a little while.
Yep.
Right?
One would even say long in the tooth.
Yeah, long in the tooth. How many people are authing their users to their internal websites with Kerberos?
Anybody using Active Directory for an internal site, okay, but nothing external. That's
well, but so let's just say it's an internal only site, and it's all their internal people, right? Mm-hmm. My observation has been most people don't do this SPN, service principal name, to be able to make Kerberos work correctly.
Right.
Because it's a pain, because it takes a little bit of work. Now, that goes to, you know, maybe 30% of people are doing that. How many people are running IPsec on their network?
Very few.
Very few. And it's well-established, well-proven technology.
Yep.
We've had it for 10-ish years. You know, it's not like it's particularly hard to do, but it's something that people haven't done because you have a lot of PKI, public key infrastructure, that you have to understand, and most people don't. You know, and I don't blame them. There's a million things to learn.
Right.
But we don't do IPsec on our networks because it's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even in my healthcare and banking clients, who I can no longer name, they're not implementing IPsec.
No.
Right? So they've got some transport problems with, you know, either financial data or personally identifiable information across their network, transiting across their network, because they're not running IPsec. So, so what's happening is you've got technologies built on PKI that have been out there for a long time that we have not really done anything with because it's just a little bit too complex. Well, with SharePoint, we're just requiring it.
You're right. We're going to force you into it.
Right. And I get why. I understand. But it's just this, it's this bump up. It's this learning curve that we're forcing people to do.
Well, and the sneaky side of this, which makes me extra cynical, is this, or you can just buy Office 365.
Exactly. It's really easy in Office 365. Hey, can I know most of the folks that listen are IT pros, but can I share a little bit about the new dev model?
Sure. And I think it's important because it really speaks to the cloud problem too.
Yes. Yeah, it does. So SharePoint 2010, we built solutions, WSPs, and we could either deploy them at the farm level or we could deploy them in a site collection level, and they'd be sandbox solutions, and so that would be, that's how it worked. 2013 brings out a brand new app model. And basically the app model says, we will never ever, under any circumstances, run code on our servers for you.
Right.
Which, from an IT pro, stability, I want to hit my SLA, absolutely.
Yep.
Love it.
Love it. A developer just went, okay, everything I've done is broken.
Right, right. I can no longer talk. And this is completely new model. We've thrown the baby out with the bathwater. We've turned the Apple cart over and set it on fire.
Yep.
I mean, this is the, you know, this is what's happened in the developer's head. And I think that it's interesting because the new app model certainly has some great things, but it also has some really bad things, right? So it's great. We, again, separation of duties. We got the isolation off the server. But then we have the same token passing encryption certificate issues that we've had. We also have a built into this mechanism they gave us was some protection against cross-site scripting.
Yep.
Which means the apps get a random GUID assigned to them, and the URL, starting URL, is that GUID.somebase. So if you've not done wildcard DNS internal to your network before, you get to do that, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And the other interesting thing is in the cloud, in Office 365, we have the ability to really delegate the identity of the user to an app and come back.
Right.
When we're doing on-prem, part of the components we need to make that work correctly aren't there. And so what we have to do is server-to-server trust, so the SharePoint farm has to trust whatever the app's development server is or the production server for the app is. So you do certificate exchanges. And then the application can operate as any user in the system. Because it basically what you're saying when you do an on-prem deployment is that the internal app, I'm going to trust it.
Right.
Right? It's a third-party trust scenario for security, which is, you know, if you really trust your developers, probably not a big deal. But it makes me a little squeamish because somebody has a bad app written, I can go as that app and go, I don't know, read every confidential document that's in the board site collection.
Right.
And that makes me just more than a little bit squeamish.
Yeah. And it, I mean, the regular users can't do it, but a developer could easily build an app that would allow that to be possible for anyone because there's just no real restrictions there. And so, I mean, on one hand, we've just spent several minutes talking about a much more advanced security model, and then we've kind of smashed it to bits with this new development model.
Yep. Yep.
That's a little frustrating.
Yeah, a little bit. And, for those of you who like JavaScript, and there's got to be a lot of us, right?
Oh, yeah, we're all happy.
Yeah. You can do... there's a lot of really great things you can do with the client-side object model, on SharePoint. But one of the newer approaches is to put more JavaScript on the page. And so you put more JavaScript on the page, that means there are more and unique and interesting ways that it can break when the JavaScript engine in whatever browser you happen to be running is slightly corrupted. And so you get customers who'll say, they call up the help desk and they go, I can't hit the ribbon in SharePoint. And you're like, what do you mean you can't hit the ribbon? Hit F5, right? Reboot your machine.
Right.
You know, And it's because there's some corruption in the IE infrastructure. And SharePoint now really relies on JavaScript to be running and running right over time.
And so, I mean, we know as IT pros, IE gets mangled over time.
Yeah.
Once it gets a little mangled, SharePoint just stops working.
Yes.
Because it is utterly dependent on that. And then, and then we really, hopefully you've got your configuration management tools all set up right, so you just redeploy that guy's machine on him. And hopefully he's followed all the rules for document management stuff, so that all of the stuff he just lost isn't actually lost.
Right.
Just to keep IE running right.
Yep. And you know, 2013 will deal with Chrome and Firefox. It, you know, it does, actually does a really good job with both of those. It's more HTML5 based. We can do drag and drop uploads. There's a lot of great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. You know, the browsers just simply get corrupted over time. And you know, it's absolutely essential now for SharePoint.
Yeah, it's like websites are fatty food, and the longer you surf, the worse your cholesterol gets, and eventually you need an IE angioplasty.
Wow, I love that analogy. That's great.
This copy of IE is ready for a triple bypass.
We're going to grab a little bit of Chrome. We're going to grab a little Firefox. Yeah.
But you can't use the alternatives for SharePoint. They function differently. You know, I've run into the same thing with OWA. It's just OWA on a different browser is different.
Yeah, it's a lot better in 2013 than it has been in the past, mm-hmm. right? So we're officially, quote-unquote, over all the ActiveX controls that we still have. But things like drag and drop don't require it. Most of it's in HTML5 or JavaScript. So it's a lot more similar than it has been in the past.
Nice. Well, at least it's something. It just seems to me that for on-prem folks, we're probably going to stick around 2010 for a while yet.
Yeah, I'm certainly seeing a disproportionate number of my clients deciding to stay with 2010. You know, when we moved from 2003 to 2007,
mm-hmm.
everybody moved.
Yeah.
Everybody. Yeah. Immediately. Because it was that big a jump.
And it was 4 years. It should have been a big jump.
Right. 2007 to 2010 saw really nice, solid adoption.
Mm-hmm.
The dev models were right. The governance models were right. We had the support we needed to really make that move. And in 2013, it's been kind of messy because they released it back in November, but they didn't release it.
Yes.
You and I were talking before show about, you know, it's available now for partners and SA customers and EA customers.
Yeah,
and blah, blah, blah,
for
blah,
volume but, license agreement, all that sort of thing. But
yeah, but there's no box.
Right.
Like you can't get a box of it.
Yeah, if I go to Frugal and ask for SharePoint 2013... You know, yeah, you have to be part of the open business program. They'll sell you cows, but it's just like the product, the box. It's not at Newegg.
Right, right. And you know, the answer is go to Office 365.
Yes. Yeah, that's the answer every time now. And that seems strange. I hate to even say this, but it's like, I think I want to wait a version so they see that our on-prem instances aren't moving and they either build us a better bridge or, you know, make an easier home for this because it's just seems a little tough right now.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, and we're still reasonably early in cycle. I know I'm saying that 9 months or 10 months after release,
yep.
but we're still very, very much early in cycle. You know, I just finished up the Shepherd's Guide and I got some visual quick references and some stuff that I've just finally gotten together.
Mm-hmm.
So I know the training materials haven't been out there, even if people wanted to move to 2013.
Well, you know, funny, Exchange 2013 has been sort of in the same boat, too. They put it out, and it was a while before a 2010 person could really consider, should I make this migration now? You know, when does it make sense? And I think it has the same issues, that it's the cloud focus has put a lot of pressure on the feature sets, and they seem a little rough.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think we really, when I look at it, and this is not fair and it's not an official list, but I see that we got search and we got WCM.
Right.
And those are really the two big features we got. And you go, well, no, you said it earlier, e-discovery, yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's really foundationally built on top of search.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we got a big investment for on-prem. But most of the other core feature sets, the other workloads, really didn't get much improvement in 2013 over 2010.
Yeah. Because they, and again, they were working on other things, things that will benefit us in the long run. I'm a big believer in this idea that whether you go to the cloud or not, what we're learning about operating in the cloud is benefiting our internal data centers. We're making better systems.
I think it has a possibility to. I mean, I think, and you, I may have talked about this before, but I think there's a great gap between state of the art, what we know we should be doing,
right,
and state of the industry, what we know we are doing.
Well, just look at IPsec as an example.
Yeah, IPsec would be a great example. You know, and maybe, you know, maybe if you're in manufacturing, that doesn't matter, right?
Right.
But certain verticals, it's absolutely important.
Sure.
But I was talking to somebody else the other day about how is dev done in your world, right? And even with an IT pro audience, like, where is your controlled environment, right? Like, do you have a QA environment?
Right.
And is it controlled, i.e., the developers hand you a pristine set of installation instructions and whatever installers are appropriate to be able to deploy to a quality environment. And I think that doesn't happen as often as it should.
That's very rare, actually.
Yeah.
Although, you know, when you talk about the DevOps movement and things, we're getting better at automating a lot of that, so it's a lot clearer. But that, again, is leading edge.
Yeah.
You know, the average guy in the average office with the average customization, it's pretty much by the seat of your pants.
Yeah, they still use SneakerNet. You know,
they're
going to manually copy it over the server. And, you know, they don't literally get up from their desks anymore, but that's what's happening.
Yeah, it's a USB key now, but other than that.
Yeah, right. It's not a floppy, it's a USB key, but the same principles apply.
Yep, without a doubt. Well, Robert, you're always full of good news.
Yeah. News? I don't know about good.
But I'm with you that there's some subtle improvements here in 2013 that for certain cases are going to make a lot of sense. Clearly, the push here is about the cloud, so we have to debate that. I got to think, if I'm a 2010 guy deeply invested in my on-prem infrastructure, especially if we've got a lot of customization done by developers, I'm going to be pretty slow moving. I'm going to take a long time and wait for maybe some easier tooling for that migration.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point, though, is a lot of the 20, other than visual, other mm-hmm. than the UI has changed quite a bit, all the 2010 stuff, all the 2010 customizations still run in 2013.
Yeah.
They don't say that. It's almost like, you know, the four-point type at the bottom with the stars.
Right.
Yeah. Your mileage may vary. It still runs. And we still build solutions that way.
Yep.
If you're going to do web content management, you pretty much have to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, I mean, I shouldn't be afraid then to fire up some VMs and experiment with migration and see what happens.
Yeah, no. In fact, we do that for customers. We'll do an upgrade assessment for them.
Yep.
So, how long is it going to take? How long do we estimate it's going to take to take your customizations and move them into 2013?
Awesome. Robert, it's always fun to talk to you.
Likewise.
Thanks very much for coming on the show. And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.